speaking, our senior pastors, is really an honor. Because Brent, along with his amazing wife, Suzanne, have been speaking into my life for 6.5, almost 7 years now, blowing into the dreams what God has put in my heart and the destiny of my life. And I'm telling you, they have sown and sown and sown and see me transition and who God's called me to be. And I can't think of another person I love so much and trust so much with my life. And I don't take that lightly because it's hard to find that leadership, but it's out there and it's here and it's out there too. So will you help me welcome my spiritual father, my friend, my senior pastor, Brent Locker.
Feeling good. Oh no, stop, really. Yeah. In case you couldn't tell, we like to have fun around here. Because God is in a good mood. I am super excited about tonight. I really am. I want to just start by saying that I'm really excited about tonight. I love what we've already done. I love worship. I was actually at the Intercessors earlier tonight. I encourage you to go to that. You can go. That the drummers, of course, if you come next week, they won't be there because they're going to be gone. So not next week, but after that. Anyway, I was there earlier. It was very powerful back there. So I was already kind of swept up into the presence even before coming into worship here. I love worship, but I want to tell you that that I'm excited about what we're going to do after I preach. So I'm going to keep my preaching shorter tonight, at least for me, shorter for me, because God is up to something tonight. I can feel it. There's some things we're going to be declaring. There's last week with Doug, with a lot of you, whether it was needing breakthrough in finances, relationships, healing, whatever it was kind of all activated and stirred up. Tonight, I really feel like we are going to be pushing through even more, just pushing right through to experience what God has for us. And so I'm going to stop right now and pray, because I want to make sure that you, Holy Spirit, have free access to our hearts. Wow. Holy Spirit, we invite you, free access to our hearts. Wow, reveal whatever you want to reveal to us. Take us places we have not been. Take our faith, which has already been given to us in Christ, but activate it in a way that it's never been activated before. Whoa, in Jesus' name. Wow. Wow. It's extra thick tonight. I am going to talk for a little while. Most of you know that we, Blazing Fire, I'll start this way. Blazing Fire is about 8 years old, 8.5 years old as a church. And we've been wandering ever since our existence. We've been in at least 6 different places, and that doesn't include the summer we were in no place together except in a park once a month in Pleasanton. We had favor with the city to actually have outdoor worship with amplification in the middle of Pleasanton. Come on. That was favor. And we know it's been God. We know that we've been actually leaving deposits as we go. It's also been about myself developing deeper and deeper relationships with other pastors throughout the whole Tri-Valley. Unity is a huge call in my life. I've been in this valley 20 years. I not only oversee a gathering of pastors in the Tri-Valley, but I oversee a gathering of pastors in the Greater Bay Area. It's just a huge call in my life. And so there's a reason why we've been, you know, moving, why the tent's been moving. And I want to tell you, most of you know this, especially if you are a vision builder, one of those who said you want to help build our vision, and you filled out that little form and turned it in. You got a letter from me a day or two ago explaining a lot of this, that we are, our time at this church is coming to an end soon. We need to be out of here by the end of May. So that leaves us like, whatever, 5-6 weeks. Now that doesn't come as a surprise. They told us that ahead of time, and it's for good reasons, because they're growing as a church. They got things they need to do Saturday nights, and they've been super gracious to us. This is the second time we've been here for a total of maybe about 3 or 4 years of our existence has been in this building. So this place has a very dear place in my heart. It really does. So how am I doing with that? Because I'll tell you this, right now, we don't know where we're going to be come the beginning of June. How am I doing with that? Pretty good, actually, because 99.9% of the time, I'm convinced of my Father's ability to take care of me and all y'all. So that was just to make some of you Texans feel more at home, or wherever else that said. I'm California born and raised, so I'm just guessing, all right? not going there. But I will tell you that a few weeks ago, I'm actually pretty good at waiting. I really am, waiting on the Lord. I consider that a pretty important part of all of our Christian journey. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. Because as you might have learned by now, not everything happens in the timing that you were hoping or expecting it to happen. And that phrase, that waiting on the Lord, which we get one of the places from Isaiah, where is that? Those who wait on the Lord. 43? Am I close? Okay. Isaiah 43, those who wait on the Lord. That word actually means entwined. That word wait means entwined, braided, intimately integrated with. That's what waiting means. It doesn't mean twiddling your thumbs until God decides to do something. There's an active part of waiting. It's actually engaging with his heart. And when you do that, you remember, oh yeah, he's good. He's for me. It is well. Everything's working in my favor. By the way, that is my title for tonight, just in case you wanted to know. Everything is working in your favor. Everything is working in your favor. The subtitle is, even when you can't see it yet. So, but a couple weeks ago, I was in a moment where I'm sure this never happened to any of you, but at that moment, I was kind of tired of waiting. I'm like, Lord, I'd really like an answer. I'm supposed to lead a couple hundred people somewhere. And I said, God, I'm feeling like Moses out in the desert, out in the wilderness. And this is what I heard him say, honestly. I heard the Lord say, all right, let's talk about Moses then. Okay. These are some of the things I wrote him down, some of the things I heard him say. He said, I'm the one who chose him. I'm the one who prepared him. I'm the one who performed miracles through him. I'm the one who devoured his enemies. I'm the one who continuously provided for all of my children's needs. I fed them manna from heaven. I gave them water from the rock. I'm the one who led him faithfully through the wilderness, with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. I am the one who guided them to the promised land and gave my people everything I promised I would. That pillar of fire at night and cloud by day, we truly have witnessed that in our journey. God has been outrageously faithful to us. What he's looking for is somebody who wants him. And when he finds someone who wants him, he says, there isn't anything I wouldn't do to get you where I want you to go. So honestly, I feel in blazing fire again after 8 years, I get this assurance from the Lord that this is how strong it is usually, that we can't even take a misstep, that it's that strong. Like any time we'd even kind of start to wander a little bit, he'd go, right here. This is where you are. There's such a grace over it. Psalm 105. Starting at verse 39, explains what the Lord just said about what he did to Moses. He spread out a cloud to cover them and fire to light up the night. They asked, and he brought them quails, food from heaven to their heart's content. He opened a rock, and the waters gushed out and flowed in dry ground as a river. Faithful to his sacred promise given to his servant Abraham. See, he even went back a few generations and said, because of him, I'm going to do this for you. He led out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the territories of nations. They reaped the fruit of other people's labors. The next thing the Lord did is response to my temporary whining. Just call it what it is. He said, he took me to John 6, 32 and 33. This is where the people were asking Jesus for a sign. And they said, you know, our fathers ate manna in the desert. As if Jesus didn't know that. And his response was, it wasn't Moses who gave them bread from heaven. It was your Father in heaven. It was your Father. And this is where the Lord really started speaking to me. And he said this. He said, you know, son, Brent, he said, Moses didn't have a clue how he was going to take care of the people. I'm like, oh. That should bring some comfort to a lot of you in this room right now. Let's just sit there for a moment and take that one in. For all of us who feel like we're supposed to have everything, all of our ducks in a row, we're supposed to have all of our answers figured out. That's why we get so tired, you know. Because we try to figure everything out up here. Moses didn't have a clue. Listen to this. I really wish I could give you the address for this, but I can't. I got it so many years ago. And you're going to get a kick out of this. It came from you, Kat. It did. January 13th, 1999. Is that possible? catlover@aol.com. Oh, that's not you? I still love you, Cat. Here, I was going to give you honor right here. And I'm like, yeah. As soon as I did the math, I was going, yeah, that was a long time ago. The faith of Moses, listen to this. One of the biggest arithmetic miracles in the world. Moses and the people were in the desert. But what was he going to do with them? They had to be fed, and feeding 3 or 3.5 million people requires a lot of food. According to the quartermaster general in the army, it is reported that Moses would have had to have 1,500 tons of food each day. Do you know that to bring that much food each day, two freight trains, each a mile long, would be required? Besides, you must remember they were out in the desert and they would have to have firewood to cook in using the food. That would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long, just for one day. And just think, they were 40 years in transit. Oh yes, they would have to have water. If they had only enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons each day. And a freight train with tank cars 1,800 miles long just to bring it. And then another thing, they had to get across the Red Sea. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long and would require 35 days and nights to get through. So there had to be a space in the Red Sea 3 miles wide so that they could walk 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. Now, let me stop here and just say this is all logically speaking. God could have easily transported them, or there's 100 other explanations. But you're just starting to think of the magnitude of this many people. There's a reason why we're going here. But then another problem. Each time they camped at the end of the day, a campground 2/3 the size of the state of Rhode Island was required, or a total of 750 square miles long. Think of it, this space just for nightly camping. Here's the big question. Do you think Moses figured all this out before he left Egypt? I think not. You see, Moses believed in God. God took care of these things for him. So let us take courage. We have the same God. We think our problems are so big. Remember what God can do, what he has done. Team up with God and your problems will be his. Let him run your life. Okay, that's a good word right there. And this is the last thing that I heard that day as God was winding things up for me that morning. He says, I want to show the world what I can do through somebody who believes me. In Numbers 11, this is where the Lord says to Moses, I'm going to give you all kinds of meat to eat for a month straight. And Moses' answer basically was, I don't think so, God. It can't happen. And God's response to that was, this is verse 23, he says, is the arm of the Lord so short? You shall see whether the promise I have made for you comes true or not. The reason why I bring this up is because here we're talking about somebody who believes him. Moses believed God. That's true. Were there times when he did not believe God? Yes. Isn't that comforting? How about Abraham? The father of faith. Come on. I got to read this to you in the Message Bible. Romans 4, verses 18 through 21. You know, before I read this, it's going to show Moses as this amazing man of faith, which he was. He chose to believe God. Of course, God's the one that gave him that ability to act. But notice it doesn't even bring up, even in Hebrews 11, when it talks about Moses, his great faith, just somehow skips right over the fact that he didn't believe God and tried to do it, fix the problem on his own, and kind of made a mess of things. Isn't that interesting? And the reason why it's interesting is because he was a man of great faith. But even people who believe God, there are times where we kind of forget. And we say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, so I got it from here. I'll just take over for a minute, and I'll hand it back to you once I get it fixed. And he says, okay, but I'm going to have to unfix your fix. But listen to this. This is amazing. I love this in the Message Bible. I'll start at verse 17. We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Hey, this is the story of our lives. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life. With a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to me, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. And that's why it's said that Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, and we are right with God. That's the gospel right there. That's the good news. In case you're here for the first or second time and you've never heard the good news, that's the good news. Jesus has done it all. He's done it all. We looked at Moses. We looked at Abraham. Do you know what we got? They don't got. They didn't have Holy Spirit living right inside of us. That was the old covenant that we just spoke of. The new covenant is Jesus came, paid the price, you are perfectly right with your Father, and you have access to the entire inheritance of the kingdom, not someday, but now. That's the good news. That's the kingdom. So does it mean now that we never doubt? I wish that were so. But I will tell you, we have a tutor, a counselor, a tutor living right inside of us that says, you really don't want to go there. There's not much fruit in that doubt thing. It's really not going to get you where you want to go. I want to invite up Suzanne for a moment. I asked her if she'd just come and share for a moment. And here's the reason why. I have seen, as we're walking this faith journey, obviously she and I are walking this together. We're all walking this together. And I have seen just something new emerging in her in the last couple of months that's pretty spectacular. Because a lot of the growth in us doesn't happen until we're pressed into those places where we have to trust him. And I just wanted her to share for a moment her thoughts, just for one moment.
It has been a journey, you know, these last, actually, I go back even to 97, thinking about what God, what are you going to do? So it's been 13 years. And every single time Brent and I have, you know, stood before the Lord and just asked him, or actually face planted before the Lord going, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? God has always come through. And then when the next big transition would come, usually me, I would be the ones like, oh God, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Very anxious, these types of things have been anxiety provoking if, you know, just maybe. And so when we had just a few of us way back when in 2001, and people wanted to go there. They wanted the presence of the Lord. They wanted, you know, we wanted to worship together. And we're like, God, what are you doing? And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going to do this together? Because we had outgrown just our little house, but somebody else invited us into their house, and then another person invited us into an actual church building, and another church building, and another church building, and a park, and another church building, and another church building, and another church building. So is that nine? Eight. I think we're eight. We're at eight. And every time, just prior to that time, I have stressed out to the max. Just, you know, this is mom talking. I've stressed out to the max because the family has grown. The family, we have all grown. You guys are beautiful, and you guys know I love you. Even the first timers, I love you. And we have grown. And I was realizing when Brent and I were talking in these last few months that I didn't have that anxious feeling. I'm like, oh, this is different. This is weird, but I just thought it was me, you know. It's just, and I'm like, Brent, you know, it's going to have to be God. This next move, it's just going to have to be God. Not a resignation kind of feeling. It's just, it's him. Because I think finally, after eight anxiety-provoking times of gray hair sprouting on my head because of it, that I believe God. You know, it makes you wonder if when the Israelites were wandering around after 40 years, when did somebody step up and just really say, you know what? He's shown us this, that, and the other thing many times over. You know what? I believe. And so, you know, I felt pretty peaceful, and I know that I'm like, wow, this is different. And I've kept, you know, we just keep going. We keep going on. And it wasn't until Thursday night in a meeting, Rob pointed out to me, Rob, where are you? Hi, Rob. He said, there was a peace over me. And I'm like, wow, this is palpable, beyond myself. And I was realizing what I was feeling inside is emanating from me. There are some people, and somebody else shared that with me, and I can't remember who, so I'm sorry, forgetting who you were. And you know what? It's gotta be God. It's gotta be God, because I'm the kind of person that will worry, that will make sure that we bring the kitchen sink with us the next time, you know, we move. And so, but this just feels different. And I think I was coming to the realization tonight as I was sitting here that it is God, and it's God through all of you guys. Because to see, you know, I know some of you, and a lot of you I don't know yet, but to see the growth in all of you from where, when we first met, whenever you stepped into our life or into the life of Blazing Fire. I mean, now we're sending people out into new age venues. People are, I mean, people who didn't think they'd say boo to a new ager, let alone minister to them, stepping into places of the spiritual with intercession, with our kids going, our wildfire kids just spreading wildfire and growing. You know, I can't help but have peace because God is bringing it through you. You guys are growing by leaps and bounds. There's been this theme of time. Have you guys heard? I mean, it seems like all of our guest speakers and then even our speakers, there's something about time, future, present, springing forward. We haven't gone around this way before. You know, it's like, it's building up inside of us. And so I can't help but have peace. As you guys grow and take it outside, we are the church. We're doing church. And it's amazing, and we don't even have a building. And I was like, wow, God, what are you doing? It's gotta be Him. For you to be sitting here, for all of our other friends who aren't here tonight, because more than likely, they're taking the kingdom somewhere, wherever they are. I mean, we're getting it deep inside, and so, shoot, why worry, you know? We're doing it. We are doing it. And so this next transition is just going to be God. So I just bless you with that peace. I bless you with the peace and the love and the joy. Oh, okay. I'll take that. The peace and the love and the joy of the Father.
That's my bride. Yes, I'm a blessed, blessed man. So we are looking for our own place. We're looking for our own building. At the same time, being that we have 5 or 6 weeks to go, we're actually still looking for some short-term solutions as well. Possibly one more larger church in the Tri-Valley. Even if that were to be the case, I'm letting you all know now, we're not stopping the search. Because God has really shown us that the vision that we are carrying of being literally a 24/7 place of His presence, where people can come in and be transformed and go rock the world. There's a lot of things. There's a ton we've been doing in 8 years without our own building. And there's a lot of things that we are waiting to do. And so it's just time to burst out. It really is. I'm very, very excited about it. Let me just read a couple of verses to you to begin wrapping this up, and then we're going to do some declarations together. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. The Lord says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see what the Lord will do to rescue you today. Yahweh, the Lord will do the fighting for you. All you need to do is keep calm. 1 Corinthians 28:20. Be resolute and courageous in your work. So we are to be about something. But do not be afraid or disheartened, because Yahweh God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you before you have finished all of the work to be done for the house of Yahweh. 2 Samuel 23:5. Yes, my house stands firm with God. He has made an eternal covenant with me, all in order, well assured. Does he not bring to fruition my every victory and desire? These are things to chew on and enjoy. Here's one more, Isaiah 26, verse 12. Yahweh, my Lord, you will grant us peace, having completed all of our undertakings for us. My friend Lonnie gave me the new King James Version of that same verse. Lord, you will establish peace for us. For you have also done all of our works in us. I believe there was a word all in there. All. All is done. So what's the application for you? Because some of you even are just kind of passing through, you know, enjoying tonight, which we're so glad you did. Some of you are hanging out with us, wondering where our home's going to be. But you also have the things in your life. Financial issues. How's God going to come through? We came up and made declarations. We laughed our debt off last week. Relational issues. Marriages. Children, are they going to come back around? You know, some of those things. There's a lot of relational issues. Where is God in those? What's going to happen? Whatever it is that you're trusting God for, whatever that breakthrough is that you need, there's a couple things I want to tell you. Hang on tight to your promises. This is really important. Some of you may not feel like you have promises about certain things. Start hanging around people who will pray over you, who have prophetic giftings, so that you got some promises to hang on to. Or take the promises from the Word of God that jump out at you. The ones that jump out at you, you say, oh, that one is mine. I'll just put that right here. That's my friend from now on. Hang on to those promises. You need something to look at where God says, this is what I said I would do. Know who you are. You got to know you're a child of the King who is for you 100% all the time, 24/7. Hang on to that. And of course, you can't know that unless you know your God. You got to know He is good. He is good. Do you know there's a song that's going on in heaven nonstop? The Lord is good, and His faithfulness endures forever. The Lord is good and His faithfulness endures forever. Only each time they sing it, the Lord is good and His faithfulness endures forever. Each time they sing it, it's a crescendo upon a crescendo upon a crescendo. Oh, the Lord is good and His faithfulness endures forever. Hang on to that. Oh, it's true. It's true, it's true, it's true. Not some of the time, but all of the time. Whether you see it yet or not, it's always true. He's good, He's for you, He loves you, He adores you. He's looking at how He can work everything in your life into your favor. Why? Because that's who He is. He can't change who He is. He doesn't just love, he is love. One of the reasons we haven't, I know some people have taken some cool trips up to heaven, you know, in the spirit. But one of the reasons I'm convinced is that we really haven't, like, stood in the Father's presence just yet. It's because that love would, it would just, we would be a puddle on the floor. If you just thought of God as this love oozing, that's who he is. He loves. And it's his love that transforms us. I'd tell you how it changed my life, but we'd be here for the next several hours right now. So I'm just going to tell you. How about the application for Blazing Fire Church? That was all just for you. That last little bit, that was just for you and whatever you're going through. Blazing Fire Church. Last week, Doug Addison spent some time with our elder team. Here's what some of the things that the Lord spoke through him. See, we write these things down and we hang on to them. There's a reason why God sends words through people, so it gives you something to hang on to. He said there's going to be a creative purchase. Change, here's another word, change our strategies. Look at stepping stones. God's doing something new. Don't consider the old ways. He's doing something new. Everything is quickly changing. Everything is quickly turning around. So forget the former ways of doing things. Provision will come. God is pregnant with this. There is water behind the dam. He is opening the floodgates. He said, take your vision and multiply it by 10. You know what my reaction was to that? He said that the first time on the phone before he came to us, and then he repeated it when he was with us. But on the phone, I said, Doug, my vision's pretty big. He goes, multiply it by 10. Like, wow, okay. Thank you, Jesus. He said one more thing, too. He said, no more tending the vegetable garden. Let me just read this. This is for all of us. This is for Blazing Fire, but it's for all of you. There is a transition going on right now. We've all been getting there. Suzanne just spoke it. We're growing up. We're learning who our God really is. And in the midst of that, something is changing. Listen to this. This will describe the change. For the country which you are about to enter and make your own. This is Deuteronomy 11, starting at verse 10. For the country which you are about to enter and make your own is not like the country of Egypt from where you have come. Where, having done your sowing, this is Egypt, having done your sowing, you had to water the seed by foot, as though in a vegetable garden. In other words, your vegetable garden only grows as long as you take care of it. As soon as you stop watering it, it shrivels up and dies, right? For the most part. No, instead, the country which you are about to enter and make your own is a country of hills and valleys watered by the rain of heaven. Yahweh your God looks after this country. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the end. So, we're going to make some declarations together. And I truly believe this. I truly believe that there's going to be some huge, huge changes. Really big transition tonight. Lisa Ann's in the preschool. Lisa Ann, is Andrew here? Oh, you want to get him? He's right there. We're going to be making some declarations. Earlier when we were in the back, there was some powerful intercession going on, but Lisa Ann and Andrew Wooldridge came into this valley and saw some things in the spirit. And I'm going to tell you in a minute if I don't see him. I was going to have them share it. What they saw, oh, come here, Andrew. Here's the context, is tell me what you saw coming into this valley tonight.
Oh, tonight? Oh, yes, when we were driving in, I could barely even drive because I was looking in the spirit and I was seeing like just these amazing things in the spirit. They were like whale-sized angels flying all around. It was like a fleet of them. It looked like Zeppelins or something, and they were all heading toward here. And it was like a huge angel convention. Coming over the church, and just it was like from across the bay as I got closer and closer over the bridge, they were just coming and coming, and it got denser and denser as I got closer and closer here. And when I was getting in the parking lot, I could barely even drive because it was like flying through angels. They're all just like crowding everywhere, getting in, like getting up behind here. So it was just awesome. So that's what I saw.
And did you have a sense of what they were, why they were here?
There was just a sense of expectation, like it was like a convention or something. Like it's like, it's the time is now, and it's just ready to go. So they were just excited, and they're ready for all of us just to like take part of that.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Why would angels be that excited unless they didn't have something to do? You know, they got something to do. They're excited because they're here because we're going to make some declarations. I've mentioned this before when we've made declarations. If you can get this picture, heaven's listening in. Angels are listening in. They're waiting for their orders. One of our biggest, I'll say problems, hurdles, thank you. One of our biggest hurdles, I wanted a different word. One of our biggest hurdles is because we're not making enough declarations. We're not agreeing enough with God. And we do a lot of this in our heads. We do a lot of fighting with ourselves and figuring out things in our heads rather than just declaring with our mouth out loud what the Lord says. Because when we begin to agree with Him, heaven is released. Angels are released. We're here to glorify Jesus. I just want to say this really quick. We're not glorifying angels at all, but darn it, they were created as God's assistants, as His messengers, as His helpers for the kingdom to be advanced. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with talking about them and saying, hey, we're open to that. You want to change my life? You want to do something? I'm totally open to that. So Lord, I thank You. I thank You for the angels that have crowded in this place that are waiting for their assignments. I would like to do this. I'd like to ask if the facilities dream team would come on up forward. There's 8 of us total. And Joe, you're here. Hey. This is a team that's been alongside of me for the last half a year or so. We've been meeting once a month. They've been total, Aaron and hers, holding my arms up and saying, come on, let's go for it. It's been very unlike any facilities group that most churches would ever consider having, because we don't really talk about buildings all that much. We do, but we're really just listening into the heart of God and listening for His heartbeat and saying, Lord, are we on track? I would also like to ask the elders, there's several elders already up here, but a few more that are out there. Come on up. Cool. The elders also, we have been praying, seeking God. I love our elder team. We're friends. We like each other. We're for each other. And God really likes that. There's just a whole, there's a good feel there. We also have been seeking the Lord about the property. I just wanted you to see some of the ones that have been seeking the Lord's heart. But this last week, we really felt like it was super important that all of us make some declarations together, that we all seek Him together on this, in part because it just pleases Him. It pleases Him that we would come together to do that. I understand some of you here, again, are not necessarily, blazing fire family, meaning this isn't really your primary home, and that's totally okay. But if you're willing to bless us by agreeing with us, I would love that. I would appreciate that. So I don't exactly know what's going to happen right now. Okay, so I'm just telling you. And the one thing I know is that in a little bit, not just yet, but in a little bit, I know we all need to face north, which just coincidentally happens to be kind of like right past that fresh fire sign. That we're going to point north, we're going to blow some shofars, and we're going to make some kind of shout, and we'll have drums going and whatever else God wants to do. I forgot one other. Well, actually, it's kind of that way. Actually looked on a map just for tonight. All right. So one thing I forgot to mention, this is really important, actually, and that is that as Doug talked last week about multiplication and remember with all of us, he talked a little bit about sowing and reaping. One of the things that we did is we invested into three other churches, a significant amount of money into three other churches. One of them specifically that's looking for a building right now. And I got to tell you, that was the smartest thing we could have done. When I was brushing my teeth. Why then? I don't know. But I'm brushing my teeth after we had made these decisions as an elder board, and feeling the joy and pleasure of the Lord just bubble up and bubble up. So there I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm laughing and I'm crying because I'm feeling the pleasure of God, deep, deep, deep pleasure. Like, oh, you did it. You did the right thing. So there is this investing thing as we get the heart of God that wants to see all of the kingdom expand. And so let me just say this. I brought this down at some point, and I don't know when. I would like to give you the opportunity to put something in this basket, and the amount is irrelevant. It's an act. I mean, if you can reach in your pocket and all you have is a quarter, wonderful. The point being, there's something God wants to get us moving and saying, come on, you guys, get my heart, get my heart, get my heart. And I believe when we come to this place, and it's not right this second, but I believe when we come to this place, for some of you who really have been looking for that breakthrough, there's going to be something that's released literally just by getting up out of the chair and moving forward. And you guys, 95% of you know me really well because you've been here a while, so you know that we don't hardly ever even talk about money. We certainly don't try to manipulate anybody to give, and so that's not what this is about at all. I'm just felt God's heart on that as we as a church chose to give a significant amount of money to pour into some other churches. I just felt God's extreme pleasure in that. So I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm just throwing it out there. I asked you all up here tonight, because I don't know how this is going to go. It may be that later on we start drumming and some of you just kind of start leaving, and that's totally fine. But I did want these people up here to pray for you. So let me just say now, because I may not have a chance later to say, if you're wanting, you know, a particular breakthrough in something tonight that God's really been stirring in you to trust Him for, and if you need someone to agree with you for that, come on up. Or you could, for healing or whatever. This is what I want to do, though. I want several of you to pray, and I haven't even told them this till now. I would like several of you to pray so that we are going to make some a shout declaration, but I want us all to intercede for a moment and just to kind of agree with the heart of God. And when I talk about agreement, I really want to encourage you when we're praying to you know, to even in your own heart, I mean, out loud, to say, yes, God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, that kind of thing, that's agreement. So, someone ready to jump in and pray?
Heavenly Father, we just come together here, and you know, everything that you've given to us has come from you, Lord, and we just thank you for that. And we just ask that you, you know, it's put it in our hearts, whatever amount that you think that, you know, should come to mind, is just trust in God, just trust in what He does, trust in His mighty hand. His arm is not too short, and just ask that you be with everyone here, Lord, and just have your Holy Spirit come and fill us all, and I ask this in Jesus' name.
As we start to intercede for God's heart, for where He is taking us, that's kind of what we're praying, not our will, but His. Like, Lord, what's on your heart? What do you have for us? But if you want to, you know, you can stand, whatever you want to do, yeah.
God, you know the end from the beginning. We trust that. We trust your leadership, and we say yes to your leadership, God. Come and lead us, Shepherd. Come and lead us. We open ourselves up completely to your leadership, and we trust it, and we love you. You're big, and you see it all. You know the end from the beginning, and you see everything, God. We believe this. We trust you. And God, we thank you for letting us be in a river, in the river. We thank you, God, for the fact that the river continues on and flows. And, oh, God, our hearts, we just dive in with you, God. We trust you. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for our new home. Thank you for where you're taking us, God. Thank you that this place exists. Thank you, God, that every answer to what we need exists. And you are the governor over it. And we thank you, Father. We believe you. We trust you. We love you. Thank you, God.
I thank you, Lord, that already you've been teaching us how to become the family of our dreams. How to become the family here on earth as family is in heaven. And what I've been hearing tonight is the heartbeat of God. That the Lord wants us to become the pace, His pacemaker in the Tri-Valley area. Because one piece of the heart, if any one single piece of the heart starts beating a certain rhythm, the rest of the heart starts lining up with that beat, with that heartbeat. So I pray, God, you would make us so sensitive to us in this place. In this place, we would hear your heart. We would hear your heart, because they're hungry for your heart. They're hungry for your lifeblood, God. Help us stay so close to you, like John, so leaning on your chest. That what we're listening for is your heart, first and foremost. Whoa, to be your family on earth that nourishes, that brings life into every place and says you all belong here in God's family, in Blazing Fire or whatever other church, it doesn't matter, but you are welcome here, Lord Jesus, to be yourself, yes, on earth, yes, as in heaven.
Yeah, I so agree. I just keep seeing the heart of God just pulsating, pulsating, pulsating. Whoa, Jesus, it's all about your heart, and His heart is just calling, calling, calling in the lost, the prodigals. It's all about the prodigals. It's all about the lost. It's all about, well, the ones out there. Jesus, we just call them in from the north, from the south, from the east. Whoa, to the west, all those ones. We call them in. We call them in. Come home. Come home to the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God. Oh, Jesus, it's never been about a building. It's about hosting your presence. It's about your presence. Whoa, and the building is just a vehicle to host your presence. So we just thank you, and we just stand as priests before the Lord. Whoa, we just take our rightful place as priests, as worshipers, and we just say thank you. Thank you. We just declare. We just say thank you now. Whoa, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Papa. It's all about hosting your presence. Whoa, whoa. So.
You said in Jeremiah 33:3, call out unto me, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know you don't even know about yet. And Abraham, when he was in his pilgrimage, he'd stop and make an altar, and he would call out to the Lord. So we call out to you. We call out to you. We call out to you. Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu. We call out to you. We call out to you and we say, yes, our eyes are on you, our heart is on you, and we are agreeing with you for the great and mighty and wonderful things that you want to do to reveal your heart to this area, to the Bay Area, to the state and to the world. We call out to you. Call out to him right now. Call out. Call out. Call out. Call out. Call out.
When we got the vision for this prophetic act, it wasn't about the amount of money that was put in here, because what God said is he's going to multiply it like the loaves and the fishes. So he said, just plant a seed and watch what he'll do. And so I decree multiplication, multiplication, multiplication on what was sown and what is being sown. Not the amount, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. He just wants to connect and wants us to take that step and then stand back and watch what he will do and multiply. So I decree and I make a declaration. Thank you, Lord, for multiplication. Thank you for just astounding us with your goodness of what you're going to do when we just take a small step and trust you. In Jesus' name.
You know, I really feel like the Lord wants us to join together and bind something, and he wants us to bind doubt. He wants us to cast it out, to remove it from our thoughts. Don't let it invade us. And he reminded me that in heaven he has these storerooms, these areas where things are kept for special times, and that tonight we're to open the storerooms and release the provision, release faith, release just everything that you can think of tonight. Declare it, say it, and heaven will release it. We just ask this in Jesus' name. What's that? Oh, pray it out? Oh, okay. In Jesus' name, we bind doubt right now. We cast you out. You have no room, no space here. You're nothing for you here. And in Jesus' name, we ask you, Heavenly Father, to open those doors, to pour out faith, to pour out provision, to pour out facilities, to pour out people and resources. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. Jesus.
Do you have anything you want to pray? Anything? Whoa.
Father, we just thank you so much that we can't even come close to seeing the amazing dream that you have for us. Your plans for us are so much larger. Your desires for us to live in this place are so much more extravagant than we can even begin to touch. But Lord, we're pursuing, we're pressing into your heart, and we're desiring to see more and more. And where we have hearts for the conferences and for the schools and for feeding the homeless and for providing those things that are important to your kids, the widows and the orphans. Like Karina said, it's all about your kids. It's all about your children. It's all about souls, Father. And we know that as we pursue that vision of what you've given us in our hearts, that you have so much more that we can't even begin to ask for enough. So, Father, in that place, we ask according to your will. And when we ask according to your will, we know that you hear us. And your word says that when we ask that way and you hear us, we have whatever we ask. Father, we declare that over this place, over this house. Father, over every family represented here today. Father, that as you have told us, as we seek first the things that you care about, then you pour out everything that we care about into our lives. And it's not something that we do to get, but it's because you've drawn us so much into your heart that we feel the way you feel. We care about the things you care about. And then all the blessings that you have for us chase us down and overtake us. And Father, we declare yes. And we simply, your offering to us is really just to say, will you just agree with me, kids? Will you just say yes? So as one on three, let's all just say yes. One, two, three. Yes, Papa, yes, we agree. We agree with everything that you already have planned for us, for this house and for each family here. We agree. We say yes, Daddy. Yes, Papa. Yes.
We receive the promise now. We receive the promise now. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And the declaration we make on earth, hallelujah, as in heaven, is that now we receive all the provision that you have given for this time, Father. Thank you so much. The provision, the necessary blessing, all those who we are walking with, God, coming alongside, we thank you, God, and we receive by faith now in Jesus' name.
You want me to hold it or do you want to hold it?
Horia Maritia Saya Karia Soria Mayaki Horia Saya Kiria Soria Namahi Horaya Haya 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 Horia Maya Hito
Faith is the substance. 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 Faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence. It's not what you see. It's not what you see. It's what you see. It's what you see. It's what you see. It's not what you see here. It's what you see. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance. Faith is here. Faith shall bring it to pass. I've given you faith. It's a gift, but you have it. You've received it. Oh my God. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. Faith. Faith is a substance. Faith. Faith. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. Faith. Faith is a substance. Faith. It's a 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 faith.
All right. This is what I want us to do. Wow, hope you guys can feel this because this room is filled with the glory of God. In just a minute, I'm going to ask the drums to pick it up again. And when we do, I want all of us to begin making declarations. So each of you have your own things that you need breakthrough for, but I want you to declare it in faith. What faith is not, oh God, oh God, oh God, where are you? Please, please. That's not faith. What I'm saying is declare the goodness of his heart into that situation, which often starts with a thank you. Thank you, God, that you got my kids. Thank you, Lord, that everything I need I have in you, that the provision is coming. Those are statements of faith, all right? But remember we just said a little while ago, there are literally angels waiting for assignments. They need to hear from you that they respond to faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. It just is. It's the way the kingdom works. And we agree with his heart, things are released. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a couple of minutes. I don't know how many, but a couple of minutes at least to do this, to begin declaring. And if you think you ran out of stuff, listen to the Lord, because there's probably some other stuff you need to declare you haven't thought of yet. At some point, I'm just gonna give us a 1, 2, 3, because I won't be able to talk. There'll probably be too much noise in the room. And we're gonna face this way. And exactly what Blaine said is exactly what the Lord told me earlier. He wanted us to cry out, which is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So we're making these decrees, we're agreeing with him, and at the end of all this, if you got shofars, you're blowing them on the count of three. When we're turning towards the north and we're saying, yes, Lord, to him answering every cry of our hearts, everything we have just agreed with in faith. So let's start declaring right now. Go ahead and drums, bring it up. Let's just start declaring it. Declare it out loud in faith. Whoa. Do not be bashful. Do not be bashful. Be strong and courageous. Agree with the Lord's heart. Some of you need addictions, strongholds broken off. This is a great time. Declare it as done. Declare it as done. I declare breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Oh, in Jesus' name. Ho! Breakthrough, breakthrough. Nothing holding you back. There is nothing holding you back. There is nothing holding you back from the Lord's destiny in your life.
So on the count of three, we're going to head north. We're facing north because we're going to the promised land. We're facing north. On the count of three, yes, Lord. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We believe you. Ho! Oh. We believe you, Lord. Oh! Oh! Yes, 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 Lord. It's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done. Oh. Whoa. If this, you know, if this seems just a little bit crazy to you, let me remind you how God does things. Let me remind you, he had armies marching around a wall seven times, breaking pots, and he says, now watch what I do. Because you were willing to step out and believe me and do what I said, watch what I do. So I declare over you that the places where you have been waiting for the Lord, you're going to see the breakthrough. You're going to see the breakthrough. You're going to see it. Oh. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. And we already know you. We already know. We have known in interceding for this, place, a place of your presence in this Tri-Valley. We have known, God, that you've already picked it out. We know that. We know that you have. We thank you, God, that you are going to reveal it to us now. You're going to reveal it. And there is going to be surprises, and it's going to be so good. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. This is your church. This is your church. Oh, thank you. So I bless you all, and I just speak the hope back into you. Wherever the enemy has tried to steal that, I declare that hope back into you. And hope is the certainty of knowing that God's going to come through for you. I restore that back into you in Jesus' name. If you need someone to pray for you for something, this is your invitation to come on up. And I bless you. I bless you. I'm looking forward to hearing the good reports of what God is doing in Jesus' name. Amen.